Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
Ball game by myself, which is very unusual. And I get so excited, I yell too much. And so I thought, you know, here today, Luann's at the conference, I can yell all I want to. But I mean, we'd be bad I didn't have to yell. So I missed a good opportunity to be a shouting, amen? Well, you know, I'm just excited about today. I believe God's going to do something. In fact, I just heard God say this, that there's someone here, maybe more than one, that God is healing right now of respiratory, something in the respiratory system that has to do with the lungs. So just receive that. I'm in the hot tub the other day, and, you know, I hate cold weather. And so, you know what, you don't normally get in a hot tub that's 104 degrees and this time of year, but it was kind of cool that day and kind of rainy, so I got in the hot tub. I needed to just get the core of my body warmed back up, and I had this thought come to me. And my prayer is always, you know, God, let your words become my thoughts. Yes. You know, we can hear the voice of God many times just through what we're thinking. Yes. And so, you know, if you're tuned into God, if you're on his channel, you know, you hear God many times. So I hear this, you know, I had this thought, you know, why do we go to church? Really, why do we go to church? Well, it looks like today a lot of people didn't come to church, but one reason is it's fall break. Kids are out of school Thursday, Friday, and tomorrow morning, so a lot of people took a little vacation. There's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, basically, you know, why do we go to church, or why are we consistent in church? You know, I think many times we go for the really wrong reasons, but even though they're kind of wrong reasons, they're kind of the right reasons. You know, one reason we go is because it's our nature to be relational. You know, we like to hang out with our same kind. You know, I remember when I got saved, I'd been in church maybe half a dozen times, and you know, I just knew that one reason I knew I had a God encounter because there was something very strange happening on the inside of me. I wanted to be in church. And why? Because I wanted to be around people that were like who I was and who I was becoming, a Christian. And so we go for relationships. Sometimes we kind of go out of we feel like we're obligated to God to go to church. And that's a good reason. We are obligated. You know, I mean, you know, we should want to go to church. And I think we owe him, you know, this day, I don't, you know, why God picked one day of the week to be the day that we're to cease from our labors and our other things and put him first. This is the Lord's Day. It's called the Lord's Day. So, you know, we're kind of under obligation to go to church. And sometimes I think that we try to go to church because we want to appease God. You know, nobody wants to tick God off. We want to make God happy, so we go to church because we want to appease him. And maybe we're trying to appease him because, you know, during the week we did something wrong. And we thought, well, you know, maybe we can get that wiped off. We just go to church and appease God. And, you know, these are all very valid reasons. Sometimes I think we go to church, people go to church because, you know, they want to please God. You know, if I can make God happy, maybe God will bless me. Maybe God will answer my prayer. Maybe God will give me a blessing in my life. So we do these things. These are all very valid reasons. But I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking about why do I go to church? Well, you know, I'm the senior pastor, so it's kind of mandatory that I'm in church most of the time, all the time. But, you know, why do we get, you know, here's the day off. You know, I have my own business. That's where my income comes in. So, you know, but a lot of people, they have a job there, and they work 5-6 days a week. And so here's the day they got to get up and get dressed and go to church or, you know, just sleep in, go to the lake, go to the golf course, go hunting, whatever it is. You know, but why do we go to church? You know, just listen to some guy preach? You know, I think that here's the reason that we go to church. On the inside of us, because I think that we have this need to be inspired. Yes. Amen. Yes. You know, we need to be inspired because, you know, like Pastor alluded to, you know, we live in a very upside down world. A lot of bad things happen. A lot of things can get us down. But you know, I think that church is meant to inspire us or to bring inspiration to us. The word inspired means to fill someone with the urge or the ability to do something. Now, if you got your Bibles, let's look in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. I won't, read verse 14 and 15. It says, "And how can they pray on him whom they've not believed? And how," here's another question, "and how shall they believe in him whom they not even heard about? And how shall they hear unless they have a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" He goes back and quotes a scripture Paul does out of Isaiah, and it says, "As it is written," he's answering these questions right here, you know, how they call upon whom they don't believe, and how they believe whom they don't know, and how they hear unless there's been a preacher, and how does a preacher get there unless he's been sent? And he says in Isaiah, he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of good things." See, the word gospel, you know, it really means good news. Remember when Jesus went in the temple that day, he said, I came here to speak the good news to you. Good news that if you're in bondage, I came to set you free. If you're blind or sick, I came here to heal. If you're poor, I came here to show you a way to have wealth. He said, you know, I came here to be a blessing. And so, why do we go to church? Well, I want to tell you what. The anointed word of God is meant to inspire me, to inspire you and I. It's meant for us to become like him. It's meant for us to be able to do things that he did. So with me, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to teach a little instead of preach this morning. Amen? How many believe that? There's three of us. All right. See when I said the anointed word of God inspires me. You know, it inspires me to become like him, do like things he did. But also, it inspires me when I hear it's God speaking to me. It gives me, when I hear the word of God, it gives me hope. It gives me courage and encouragement. And also, it gives me faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, very familiar scripture, it says, that's Ephesians, okay. It says, all scripture, what? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God. So it's inspired of God. So it's not just just words that some prophet wrote down, like Muhammad, or some prophet wrote down, like Joseph Smith. It was inspired through God's people. God spoke to people, and people wrote these things down, your Bible. And so it's inspired by God. It's breathed by God. It says, goes on to say that it's profitable for doctrine, or how we're to live, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good purpose, every good work. So the word of God inspires us to be who God created you to be. When you hear the word of God preach, it'll bring inspiration to you. This is who God created me to be. And it also inspires us and to equip us to do the things he did. See, there's something about being in church. I love being in church. You know, I love what David said, you know, that I was glad when they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. You know, I don't get up, you know, I'm not saying that every time I come to church, I'm glad I come to church. But I try to get my gladness right, amen? I want to come here with the right attitude. And so, you know, there's something wrong with people that you have to be drugged to church. You ought not have to be drugged to church. You ought not have to be coerced to go to church. You ought not have to be threatened by your husband or wife or your mom and dad to come to church. You ought to want to come to church. Why? Because it's the house of God. And so we ought to be glad when we come to the house of God. Why? Because David also said in Psalms that those that are planted, see, planted is not, it's being consistent. See, people that are not planted, they are very, what, inconsistent. And we, you know, our society right now, you know, we talked about in Pastor Elder meeting the other day, you know, if everybody that belongs to this church was here on Sunday, we wouldn't have enough seats. But people are very inconsistent. I mean, most of you guys that are here today, you're pretty consistent because this is a holiday weekend. But But most people are very inconsistent in their attendance at church. I mean, Barna and all these research tells us that people that once were very committed to be there every Sunday, you know, 10 years ago, they get there about every third Sunday now. Why? Because we have so much competition outside. We're drawn away by other things. So, you know, I come to church because, you know, I want to come to church. Nobody makes me go to church. My wife don't say, honey, you got to go to church because you're preaching today. That don't happen in our house. We always want to go. We love the church. And it's not the building, but you are the church. And we love being with our family on Sunday morning. What better place, amen, to start the week off by being with our families, all right? So when I go to church, you know, there's something about being in church, being around other believers. You know, it inspires me to be around other believers. It inspires me to hear a testimony like Jennifer gave. It inspires me to see what God is doing in people's lives. It inspires me to be in worship. You know, it's not just singing a bunch of songs. It inspires me by being in worship. When I see others come down the altar and worshiping God, when I look around and see people really into worship, it inspires me. Amen? Yes. It inspires me to be under the word that activates my faith. It inspires me to become like him. Yes. So that's why I go to church. You know, inspiration, we're talking about inspiration today, is meant to create a desire within us to be someone or do something. You know, we see somebody as being successful, it inspires me that I can be successful too. You know, when I see someone that's in bondage with some kind of addiction, that don't inspire me. When I see someone that's sick and dying, that doesn't inspire me. When I see someone that's leaving homeless, that doesn't inspire me. But when I see people that are living a successful life, that inspires me. That tells me that I can and that you can. So, you know, inspiration creates this desire in us to be somebody or do something. You know, we see all these organizations that hire, you know, inspirational speakers. And they're there to motivate you. They motivate you to sell something, to buy something, or to give something. I mean, I'm on some boards there, and we have banquets from time to time. And we don't have somebody to come in and try to pump us up not to give. And we try to bring somebody to pump us in to give. Amen? So, you know, they hire people to motivate, to inspire you to do something. I remember several years ago, you know, today's culture, we have a lot of everybody selling something. And you know, it's all this hype about selling things. But I had this friend, he was world champion calf roper several times. And we were very, very close friends. And he called me up one day, and he'd been, this guy wasn't a salesman. I mean, he couldn't sell electric blankets in Alaska. He called me up one time, and he was so excited because he'd been in this deal, and it had this product called Mixigo. And it's a little product there that you pour in your gas tank, and it's guaranteed to give you better gas mileage and a lot more horsepower. And so he was so pumped up about this. He said, I've never been to a place like that. He said, Ty, he said, we had this meeting there, and this room was filled with people there. And he said, they were running up and down the aisles, and they were shouting, Mixigo, Mixigo, Mixigo. And he said, it was like being at the NFR in time, the fastest calf there. The crowd went wild because some guy inspired them they could do something, sell something. You know, That's why we have inspirational speakers to motivate us to do things we want to do. I mean, there's a lot of products going around that help you lose weight. Now, I want to tell you what, I tried one time. It didn't work. If I want to lose weight, I got to motivate myself. I've got to watch my calories, watch my fat, watch all this kind of stuff there. Exercise, come on. I mean, I ain't going to take no little pill and watch it fall off. But if you go on these weight loss deals, they're going to say, hey, man, I weighed 390 pounds, and I start taking these pills, and 2 weeks later, I weighed 160. And everybody say, yes, no more fat, no more fat, no more fat. They're going to pump you up to have you believe in that. Amen? See, we thrive on inspiration. They try to sell you something. They try to tell you, you know, you can attain wealth. We can get you how. I can tell you how to attain wealth. Give. Amen? Well, you know, they're trying to buy us, make us buy their products to inspire us. You know, inspiration. Oh, when Louie and I got married, I quit playing golf for years, and while I was single, I started playing golf again with some buddies in Austin, Texas, and got to loving the game again. And so we got married, and I'd take her, we'd go on trips, I'd play golf, she'd get on the golf cart and ride around. And I said, honey, you need to start playing golf. She said, I can never do that. I'm not athletic. I said, you don't have to really be athletic. I said, you can play golf. And yeah, she said, I got to be coordinated. She said, I'm not coordinated. And so, you know, I never could get her to play. But one day we were somewhere on a trip somewhere, and we played with a man and his wife, and she played good, played pretty good. And, you know, it inspired Lou Ann. She said, man, I think I can do that. If she can do that, I can do that. See, she was an inspiration to her. She inspired her. So we get her a set of clubs there, and she begins to play. And she's become a very good player today because someone inspired her that she could do something she didn't think she could do. See, I believe that's what the Word of God is meant to do. It's to inspire us to be somebody that we don't think we can be. Become a person we don't think we can be. Do things that look impossible. So, you know, I think, you know, you look around and listen to a lot of great athletes. You know, a lot of good performers, actors. You can see a lot of successful businessmen. And if you just talk to them a little bit, you know, you would find out that somewhere in their background, someone inspired them to become a basketball player, or a golfer, or a cowboy, or something. There's something that brought that gift out inside them because of inspiration. See, I think that's what the Word of God is doing, is bring that gift out inside of us. You know, I've been to a lot of these timeshare, whatever you call them, presentations. And, you know, I don't mind going. I hate it because they have people that are so motivated to inspire you to buy something. And the deals are never very good deals. But, you know, the reason I go, because they offer me something. You know, it's kind of like some churches do. You know, come, we'll give you something. And they'll give you money, they'll give you hotel rooms, they'll buy you food. The last time we were in Cabo, San Lucas there, I remember there, you walk out of the airport there into this big room, and I mean, it's filled. I mean, there's hundreds of guys and ladies that start talking to you. And they say, hey, are you going to play golf? I'm carrying my golf. You going to play golf here? I said, yeah. We want to give you two rounds of golf on this beautiful golf course. It's very private. Wow. Well, I'm up to, I know what's going on here. I said, no, thank you. Well, we want to give you some meal vouchers, this very excellent, nice restaurant in Cabo, worth $100 a night. We'll give you two of those per night. No, I'm not interested. Well, we want to give you some money. Now they got me here. I said, I already got tea times booked. I know where I'm going to eat here. But they said, we won't give you $100. I said, nah, that ain't good enough. I got them up to $300. And I'm going to this meeting there, and I know what's going on. I've been to a lot of them. I've got a lot of freebies off of them. They're pretty nice deals. But, you know, I just don't really have the patience to listen for about an hour and a half. My attention span gets very short in things. And so they do everything in the world to try to convince me why I need their product. I need to buy this timeshare there. I mean, they tell you all these reasons. But, you know, I've never been even close to buying anything. Even though they were very motivated, inspirational speakers to me. You know why? Because I went to that meeting with a mindset. I had a closed mind. I'm here for the bucks, the meals, and the tea times. And I don't care how hard you try to twist me. I ain't buying. I had my mind made up. Well, you know, that helps a lot of people. That they come to church. They come here, and the Word of God is inspiring to them. It inspires them. They can be healed. It inspires them. They can get out of debt through their giving. It inspires them. They can have a new life. They have all these things that they inwardly desire, But they come in church, their minds already set. Well, I ain't buying nothing the pastor tells me today. I ain't buying that faith stuff. I ain't buying that healing stuff, that prosperity stuff, salvation stuff. You know, I ain't buying it. See, a lot of people never get to what God has them because they fail to let God inspire them to be who they're called to be. See, inspiration brings illumination. Let me just explain this to you. You know, when Jesus spoke, I mean, he was a great motivational speaker, wasn't he? I came that you might have life. I mean, wouldn't that motivate you to have life and life more abundantly? I came that you might be healed, that you may no longer be sick. I came that you might be set free. I mean, he really motivated people to come into what God had for them. So, you know, when Jesus spoke, people got inspired. They got inspired, and all of a sudden, you know, through inspiration, the lights came on up here, in here. The lights came on. They were illuminated because they began to see what Jesus spoke. They began to, the words he spoke, they began to see light come. They began to see themselves healed. They began to see themselves doing things they couldn't do. They could rise and walk. They could see now. Why? Because his word inspired them to become who he created them to be. See, Abraham, he saw. He heard God, and he saw his son. See, Moses, he saw himself as a leader. Before God spoke to him, before God inspired him, he says, here's who you are, Moses. I've called you. You're a leader. You're going to deliver the people. See, Moses always saw himself as a failure, but God saw himself as successful. So he heard it, then he saw it. God's word inspired him to be somebody. Gideon's another example. You know, Gideon, he said, I'm the weakest guy there is. But God said, you're a mighty man. And when he heard the words that inspired him, he said, I can do all things. I can do something. I can defeat my enemies. Because God says, I am with you. You are a mighty man, Gideon. So he heard that he was, and he saw what he was. Very same thing happened to Mary. Mary couldn't see herself giving birth to Jesus. But when she heard the word, his words inspired her that she'd be the mother of Christ. See, because his words inspired the people, they saw it. And see, when you come in to the house of God, the word ought to inspire you to be able to see yourself healed, see yourself free, see yourself out of debt, see yourself as successful, see your potential. See, so today I'm going to ask you to do this. Let the word today illuminate you to the things that you desire. Let you see what you desire. See, the reason that you have what you have today is because you see what you have. You saw what you had yesterday, but you don't see yourself what you could have tomorrow. Let the word of God turn the lights on inside you that you might see hope, that you might see your breakthrough. See, that's what the word of God is meant to do, is to inspire us to allow it to come in and illuminate us. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says. And hearing by the word of God. See, hearing the word inspires me inwardly. When I begin to hear the word with these ears right here, it inspires me on the inside. That's why y'all not come to church with a blocked mind, a closed mind. Because the word is meant to inspire you. It inspires me inwardly. And then faith. See, here's what happens. Faith inwardly sees things. See, faith sees. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith sees things that I'm expecting. So the word inspires me, faith comes on, and I begin to see it. See, illumination helps us to see those things that we haven't been able to see before. It's things that are that have been hidden to us. It's like being in this room there and all these things that God has promised you is in this room. And so the words inspire you, and when you begin to let it illuminate you on the inside here, you begin to see things. You see things that God has for you. See, it's the same thing with things in the kingdom of God. The inspired word of God illuminates things that are attainable. And those things that have been hidden from their natural minds, it's like this. We begin to see the kingdom of God that's been hidden. You know, Jesus many times said that the things of God are hidden. Well, how do they get unhidden? By the word that brings inspiration to you to be able to see things that you can't see in the natural. So your natural mind can't see some things. Illumination is meant to bring revelation. When things become illuminated, it will bring revelation to you. See, you can when you begin to get inspiration that inspires the Word of God that's alive in you, that God will do what He says He'll do, it brings illumination, and that will bring revelation. Yes. Now turn to me, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Says that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you or impart to you, inspire you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding. What's that? That's your capacity to receive something. That's your mental, that's your inward heart, your mind. That He may give you the eyes of your understanding be enlightened or illuminated, that you may know. See, it takes that revelation, spirit of wisdom, revelation, and then our eyes being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance for you and His saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. So, you know, illumination reveals things. You will never get revelation until you see it through your spiritual eyes. Right. You can't get the revelation of God through your natural mind. No. Paul said this another in Corinthians. He says your natural mind can't comprehend the things that God has. You can't understand things in your natural mind. That's why you can't see that when someone gives a report to the doctor that you're going to die in 18 months with cancer. See, your natural mind, when the doctor says, we've used everything we can use on you, nothing can help. See, your natural mind can't comprehend that. It's got to be seen through, revelation has got to be seen through your spiritual eyes. You know, you can't understand why, you know, you heard Jeff talking about this guy questioning. He said, I don't know how you can give 10%. See, your natural mind can't comprehend how you can be obedient to God in your giving. You can't figure it out. You take calculators and your checkbook and what's coming in and going out. You can't figure out how it'll happen. See, but you got to see it through revelation. And revelation's got to come through the word's been illuminated to you. Before it be illuminated, it's got to bring inspiration to you. So revelation begins to do that. So inspiration brings illumination, which produces revelation. See, revelation, here's what revelation does. It tells us things are attainable. It reveals things that have either been done or going to be done. Right. Now turn with to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, I love this, verse 9. It says, as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor ear in the heart of man, the things, which God has prepared. Let's just get very personal. My eyes and my ears and my heart have not comprehended the things which God has prepared for me. See, your natural mind, your natural ears, your natural heart can't understand that. It takes revelation. It takes revelation. But we have received not the Spirit, for what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. See, the Word reveals things that God has given to you. And faith in the Word reveals things that are coming to you. Let me say that one more time. See, it takes inspiration, the Word of God, to bring light, illumination. And when light comes, when you begin to see it, as God sees it, it'll bring revelation to you. And revelation is what brings things that have not been attainable to you to becoming attainable to you. So let me say this so that once again. The Word reveals the things that God has given to me, and faith in the Word reveals things that are coming to me. Revelation reveals things that have already been given. God has given you all things that pertain to life. That's your health, your ability to live a successful life, everything you need to be alive. God has given you all these things. So revelation shows us, reveals things that are have been God has given to me, but here's what it does. Faith in the Word reveals things that are coming to me. When you get a revelation from the Word of God, and here's the kicker, and it becomes as truth, it becomes established as truth in your life. So that's what brings the promises of God. Inspiration, illumination, revelation, it produces, it's got to be established as truth. So you can have a revelation of something until you declare it and establish its truth, it'll never happen. You know, let me give you a couple examples. You know, when I got saved, I was making $250 a month, plus extra income I made from riding Bronx outside horses. And even though I had things furnished from like a house and pickup, still had a lot of expenses. When I began tithing, see, I started tithing out of obedience. I heard that, you know, that's God's. First 10% is God's. So I wanted to be obedient to God. I just got saved, I fallen in love with Jesus, and I wanted to serve him, be obedient to him. So I did it out of obedience without expecting anything. And God began to bless me. And so I began to study things about, you know, tithing and giving. And I begin to know and see the heart of God through revelation that God desired me to be successful. God desired to make me a blessing that I might be a blessing. And so I began to get revelation of things in the Word. The Word began to illuminate to me. I got revelation. It became truth to me. It became, this is what God said. If I give, it shall be given to me. If I bring my tithes, he will. God will cause all grace abound towards me. I begin to see these things, and they not only were revelation to me, but they became established as truth. Yeah. See, when you know the truth will what? Make you free. So they became truth to me. The latest thing that, we all know the Word. We read the Word, study the Word. I hope you do. You're under the Word in this house. I mean, you need to get here on Wednesday nights because, I mean, it's good just deep core teaching the Word of God. Pastor Travis doing a series, started last week, go all month here, about putting on the whole armor of God. Yes. You know, you need this world out here today, you better be equipped. Right. You better have some armor. If you're not having some armor, you're going to get tore down one day. Right. You need to learn how to walk in spiritual authority. And so, Wednesday night's really a teaching night that we can teach the Word of God. And that Word of God will inspire you if you get under it. If you'll grasp it, not shut it out, it'll help you. And so, anyways, when I got born again, I didn't know a lot about the Holy Spirit. I was in a denominational church, and they didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. And so I began to seek some things of the Holy Spirit. And I went through years of me and Luann being married and God doing mighty works through faith, seeing people healed, seeing people delivered, just seeing God move in our finances and bless us and bless us and bless us and bless us because the Word became truth to us. And I always knew about the Holy Spirit, and I knew I was a temple of the Holy Spirit. God lived inside of me. Yes, yes. I wasn't trying to reach a God that was eons away, but God was inside me. Right. But, I don't know, a couple years ago, it became so real to me that it's just as real as Lou Ann sitting on the front row to me, that the Holy Spirit's inside me. Inside me right here. So I know there's things that, you know, I can't do, but he can do. You know, even when Oral Roberts spoke this to me, I mean, we sitting right eyeball to eyeball in Oral's house in California several years ago, and he said this. He said, the Spirit of God in you has no limits. The Holy Spirit inside you has no limits. I mean, I heard it, but, you know, even though I knew it was true, but it didn't really become true to me until just a few years ago. The Holy Spirit inside me has no limits. That's why I can do things that are impossible. All things are possible. Why? Because he's inside me. It's not me, but it's him. And I just had this revelation. You know, it became so much light to me that he's right here. And that it changed my everyday living, because I'm not just going through seasons and I'm seeking his face or listening to his voice. Now I'm continually. I mean, that's why I can get in the hot tub and hear the voice of God. I don't have to get on my knees and pray. I mean, driving down the road to El Paso or Ship Cattle, I'm hearing the voice of God. Why? Because he's right inside me. And I know I can't really explain that, but like I want to explain, but, you know, I just had this revelation about the Holy Spirit inside me. See, the word spirit is Greek word pneuma. It's breath. Same thing in the Hebrew is breath. Spirit is breath. You know, when God created man, God breathed into man. God has a breath. Well, what's that breath? It's the Spirit of God. See, you can't see the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God's presence right here today. And all of a sudden, this hunk of clay, when God said, breathed into him, like a song we say, his lungs begin to be filled, or his inside begin to be filled with the presence of God. See, before God did that, he was just a hunk of clay. But now, God, his breath caused him to be created in his image. And according to his likeness. The clay wasn't like it. Just like your body is not like God, but if you have the Holy Spirit inside you, you're like God, because he's inside you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, there's an impartation from God. It's God's breath. You can't see it, you can't feel it, but God just comes inside you. So that became a revelation to me. Now, I'm hearing him so much more clearly. See, inspiration brings illumination, which produces revelation. It tells us things are attainable. When Jesus said, knowing the truth sets us free. Yeah. See, let me just say it this way. Knowing the truth is not knowledge of the truth. So you can have knowledge of things in the Word of God. It's not the knowledge. It's not just the hearing. You can hear it. But it's revelation of the truth that sets you free. Let me just give you an example. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Said she'd had this condition for like 12 years. She'd done everything she knew how to do. She sought out every doctor, spent everything she had. I mean, she was literally at the end of her rope. It said this, that she, when she'd heard about Jesus. See, I believe when she began to hear about Jesus, she began to get inspired by what she heard. You know, maybe she went into Sunday school or a church anywhere, but she began to hear on the streets, have you heard about this one called Jesus? You know, some say he's the Son of God. He's been doing miracle after miracle after miracle. We've heard people being healed of every kind of sickness, every kind of disease. She began to hear about, I knew a blind man that got healed, and now he sees. Another said, you know, I was there one day, and at the Pool of Bethesda there, and there's a man that's been crippled for all his life, 38 years, and Jesus said, rise and walk, and the guy got up and walked. I saw him down the street the other day, still walking. I saw people that couldn't hear anymore, and all of a sudden they began to hear. People that couldn't talk anymore, and all of a sudden they began to talk. All these things, I even heard about a couple of sisters whose brother died, and Jesus rose, brought him back from the dead after 4 days. And she heard about these things. And it was like one of these high-dollar motivational speakers, you know. She heard about these things, inspired her. You know, if God can do that for them, why can't God do it for me? God's not a respecter of persons. If God healed them, why can't he heal me? If God fed the 5,000, why can't he help me with my life? So she heard about these things. And then she said, she said, if I can just touch his garment. Now, why did I say all this? Well, she was inspired by somebody's words. She heard about Jesus. Secondly, when she began to hear, she began to see. See, words create pictures. When that man began to say, you know, I remember this guy laying by the pool of Bethesda. I watched him there day after day after day. They carry him in there. He always hoped to get in the water, but he never got healed. But then when Jesus came by, he says, rise up and walk. And I saw that man rise up and do the impossible because he heard. He was inspired. See, I'll be every word that Jesus spoke carried inspiration. And that's why this word of God, as you hear the word of God preached in churches, it'll inspire you to attain those things you desire. And she said, I begin to see these things. I begin to tell me these stories. I begin to see this blind man. I begin to see this crippled man. I begin to see Lazarus living again. I begin to see it. And then she says, I said to myself, if I can just touch the gift. See, she got revelation. If, see, that's revelation to me. If I can touch him. If I can touch him. She had a revelation. If I can touch him, I will be healed. Do you see the revelation there? Yeah. See, a lot of you are not there today, but you need to be. If I can believe my marriage can be restored. If I can believe my kids can be set free of drugs. If I can believe my finances can be restored. If I can believe today, say today, I can be healed. See, once we have a revelation that come through illumination, that came through inspiration, then you expect a manifestation. Yeah. See, as soon as she just touched him, Jesus didn't pray for her, didn't lay hands on her. She's got revealed. If I can touch it, I know I can be healed. So let me ask you today, what do you have revelation of today? What can you get hold of today? So then let me close with this. Back to the deal. You know, why should I go to church? Why should I be here consistently? You know, one thing, I hear my wife tell me this all the time. You know, I don't want to miss church. Why? Because God may have a word for me. It may not be a prophetic word, but it may be the word is alive. And you put yourself in the right atmosphere. So that's what church is about. It's the atmosphere of his presence. And I know, I mean, my mother, you know, she never went to, she's a faithful church growing up. After she got married to my dad, they never went to church. And, you know, she loved God. She told me about her salvation experience at a Christmas play when she was like 5 years old. And she loved God. She read her Bible every day. She read devotional every day. Every Sunday morning, she'd watch Hyde Park Baptist Church in Austin, Texas on the TV there. But, you know, I never saw that word living in her. You know, I saw characteristics of the word, but I never saw the faith because she was never in the presence of God. There's something about it. That's why Hebrews says we're not to forsake the assembling together. Because we're right here in an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere of inspiration, and the presence of God is here. So why do I go to church? Because I need inspiration. I need inspiration. I need something that's going to get me down the road all this week because you don't know what you're going to face this week. And if I'm inspired, The word becomes alive inside me, so I can go through trials. I can go through tribulations because I know I'm going through. Let's just begin to pray. Baptize in the Holy Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit. I see what God's going to do. Question. Can we have some music? Well, Father, we thank you for your presence here, God. We thank you that you're alive. And God, let your being alive inspire us today. Let your word inspire us today. God, I pray that you begin to turn lights on the inside of us, God. Lights to be able to see those things that have been hidden to us through your word. Things that we've seen as unattainable, God, but now we're beginning to see them as being attainable. God, inspire us to be who you created us to be, God. Nothing short of it. God, inspire us that we can be healed. God, inspire us that we can be delivered. God, inspire us that we become a new person through you. Jesus, thank you. You know, we'll talk about teaching on gifts of the Spirit sometime on Wednesday night, do a series on it. But, you know, this morning what I gave was a word of knowledge. See, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know I heard the voice of God on the inside, inwardly. Not outwardly, but inwardly. I heard God say there's somebody here, and I'm healing them today of respiratory diseases. I don't know what that is. Maybe lung cancer, maybe asthma, maybe, you know, chronic bronchitis. I don't know what it is. It could be COPD. But I believe that's a word from God. And I believe when I spoke that, I mean, I think whoever I spoke to, I believe you just, it just, like a light came on inside of you. That's me. So if that's you, I want you to just come down here. I want to just lay hands on you and pray for you. Just stand. If that's you, just come on down. You know, God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful to perform his word. Anybody else?
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.